Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our Director of Discipleship, Brian Rooney, entitled Make It Count. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, man. I'd rather do that than those like, good morning. Oh, come on, go again. I'd rather do one of those because then it's like, we're like figuring it out. Because you ever had those public speakers that are like, no, come on, go away. And you're like, bro, I just had my coffee. Like, it hasn't even sat. Let's not do this. The last guy did it. I'm just kidding. So, well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Valley Brook Community Church. My name is Brian Rooney. I'm on the staff here, and it is my pleasure and honor to be able to speak with you. And if you're joining us online, thank you so much for joining us. There are hundreds of thousands of churches you could pick. We're so happy you're with us this morning. So thank you for being here. You know, what's really funny is I really don't like this pocket of this season. If you were with us last Sunday, I had the honor of speaking as well, and I started off going, it's coming, Christmas is so great. And then right after Christmas, and now I'm like, I hate it, I hate it. It's because it's the furthest away from Christmas it can be. Literally, as far all the, you guys have those like blocks that say how many days till Christmas or things like that, some families do. It's like 365, 364, and I'm like, ugh, why can't it just go back? But also, I don't like this season as well because it just feels like a Monday. Like, New Year's just feels like January's the Monday of the year. It just gives this weird, like, all right, we're doing this again. All right, let's go. Let's start up. So, I don't know. The season gives me a weird taste in my mouth. It's, you know how you know it's a Monday? Like, the season that feels like a Monday is because everyone's starting diets. Everybody's on the keto diet. Everybody's starting a new thing. Everyone's at the gym who doesn't know how to work out at the gym. They're hogging up the bench press. And I'm like, come on, why? I know some of you are laughing because you're like, yeah, same. And the others are like, I know the state of his back has not let him work out in months. There's no way he's been to a gym. Which I haven't. I have a home one. Still haven't touched it. So, you know what's funny about this season? The goals that people make, and everybody makes all these goals. They want to, you know, they want to become an avid reader, or they want to work out more. They want to get in shape. They want to start a new diet. They want to, you know, stop drinking, whatever it is. This is a season of just goals and goals and goals, and it's a good thing, but sometimes this season gives us a bad taste because not only is it the season of so many goals coming up, but it's also the season where so many goals are failed. So many people fail goals at this season, and I don't like that because I love goals. I love when people set goals. I used to be a clinician and a therapist, and I love setting goals. I would always give homework out, but this season is always that time where you're like, I'm gonna do it, and you're like, yeah, and then 2 weeks later, done. They're back doing the same thing they were doing before. And so the thing that gets this bad taste in my mouth is not that we start up new goals and stuff, but that there are so many failed goals. I don't like that. I hate looking on Facebook in this season because I'm always like, okay, they're back at McDonald's again, I guess. So, during the season of church, oftentimes a lot of people who speak during the season will like to speak on the New Year's aspect, right? Like it's coming up, it's one of those holidays, it's very easily spoken about. So it's like, it's a very easy topic to hit at this time. And so instead of this time, you know, just ending and going, or, you know, in this sermon, just going, you should hold tighter on your promises, go in peace. I'd rather look more at this kind of cycle that we're in. I love cycles. Cycles tell us a lot about what it's like to actually be human. You learn more about people. So I want to take a moment to look at this cycle that we're in, that every year, getting back to this time, restarting goals, failing, going back to normal. And I'm not saying people don't, you know, make goals and actually achieve them. When you do, that's great, and that's what we want. But it's this cycle that we keep getting into that's very interesting to me. So if you don't mind, I'd love to take some time to look at that for a second. So one of the things I've noticed about this season is that why goals start to happen more often during this time, or even on like Mondays, like I said, it's very similar, is on like Mondays or holidays or at New Year's, people start to make more goals because they're more aware of time. They're more aware of time's passing. So they notice like, oh, hey, new year, there's a new thing we can start, or new week, we can try again, start something different. So I notice that people start to make good promises or make good goals or have a desire for their life when time is more aware in their mind, when the passage of time comes in. And that's when like we get through the year or through the week and that starts to fade away, that's when the goals start to fade away as well. And so I've noticed that this happens frequently at holidays or at birthdays even. And this is also happens with semesters. If you're on like a school schedule, people will do this. It'll be like, during the summer, I'm gonna try to do this thing. And then next year, I'm gonna read this many books or get this certification. It's always kind of tied around to the passage of time and when we're more aware of that. And you know, it's a good thing too that we have so many of these, because becoming aware of time is a good thing. One of the first things that God did is he kind of ordered the week and gave us the 7-day kind of schedule. And so it kind of helped us create a little bit of order within this just kind of massive time that we have. And I think it's good, because I think our world could use a little bit good old-fashioned order to it, right? It's a lot in disorder. And so it's helpful to maybe start off and say, all right, let's give you a structure a bit. I think it's a helpful thing because it kind of starts to help you work through your life. Here's one. I told this to somebody the other day, and they asked me a funny question. They said, you know how helpful, you know, God making that structure was and helping you kind of look through your life? I want you to prove to me it's a Sunday, scientifically. Go outside, prove it's a Sunday without using the calendar. You can't. There's nothing out there to help prove it. And so the calendar itself helps kind of create this new kind of way we think through things. There's nothing out there that helps us like find it, but it's helpful just in our ordering. We've created an order to help us kind of live through life. So it's an interesting thing. I thought it was funny, I guess not. But man, I'm just not landing. A few of these are just like, the past couple weeks, I'm like, ah, my wife's like, don't do it. And then I do it and it doesn't work. What does that tell you? Oh, that's funny. I don't mind a little bit of callback. We're small enough that we can still kind of do this and have a conversation. It's not too big. I love this. This is fun. If you're ever speaking, have your husband or wife in the front row, because then they can really kind of keep you humble. It's real nice. What's difficult is when we get to this kind of season of New Year's, once the New Year's kind of passes, we just go back into this kind of void of time. It's just kind of through the year and we're just kind of going again. And there's so much time and it's just like this mass coming at us. I know a lot of people quote things like, oh, life's too short and things like that, but look at a whole year. That's a lot of time. A lot of stuff happens in a year. We kind of focus on a week and go, if I could just get through this week, I'll be good. But it's like a year is a long time. Have you thought through fully how you would go and order out a year? How you'd look through and use it like you would a week. People don't usually do that. You know, and I've noticed some things too that really help not, you know, it just help us, it makes this difficult for us. So one of the things I've noticed too is we don't live off of like the sun anymore. So we kind of follow the stock market instead because we get up before the sun rises and we go home and the sun's already set. So there's a lot of things that even ancient people used to have to help them kind of order their day that we don't really have anymore as much. Because even people that, you know, maybe you will come home at those kinds of days, you come home and you keep working even past when the sun's gone down. You move on to another thing, another job. It just kind of creates this like long void. And even now people are working from home more and more. And so now there's not even this wake up and drive commute to work anymore, right? It's less and less happening, even though when you drive an 84, it doesn't seem like it's happening. It seems still as packed as it was before. But we're starting to lose all of the natural things that help us kind of order through our day, our week, and our lives. There's something very interesting that a lot of scholars and researchers have noticed about our culture, and it's that in the West specifically, we have started to dissolve a lot of those foundational aspects of our day-to-day that helped us move on. Things have started to just kind of dissolve as we've become more individualistic, and as we've started to gain more technologies, that everything is starting to just kind of blur together. And this is why it's, you know, there's a lot more options and things that we can be doing. And what I mean by that is that there's less things that are sacred in our culture, in our society. And when I use the word sacred, I want you to hear when I mean that, sacred means to be set apart for a particular use. It's the same kind of meaning as what you would say holy. If something is holy, it means that it is set apart for a particular design. We have multiple things that we have set apart for different uses. Like if you have decorations, like our Christmas decorations, they're decorations, but they're set apart for a very particular one. Or if you have like fine china at home, you use those for very particular meals. You don't use those just throughout the week. Wedding dresses are also set apart. They're sacred, as there are a lot of dresses, but these are ones that are very particular and used for a very particular time in your life, and thus valued. There's a lot of other things like that. And our culture has started to make things less sacred in an attempt to give further freedom to the individual. Because if there are these things that you have to have or these sacred things that you need to focus on, it to a degree kind of limits what you can do. And so in our culture that values a lot of individualistic free decisions, they don't like anything kind of creating an order or a structure. They don't like things kind of holding you in. And that's okay, I get it. We're in a culture that has a lot of different cultures and a lot of different people from different kind of worldviews. So I get that. But what we haven't been able to realize up until really recently is that there are a lot of beneficial things that come with a lot of those sacred aspects of our life that we haven't really seen the detriments of until just now. We're starting to notice that a lot of those foundational things that have helped us have actually added a lot to our culture, now that we've gotten rid of them, there's some detriments. Here's an example. A lot of our families used to eat together, like as a full meal together, like have a full dinner with everyone sitting together. And some of you still do, but one of the things that have happened is that everyone's got a phone. Everyone's looking at a screen. Oftentimes, you'll see on social media, there's a lot of memes now that are out about, I can't get through a meal unless I have YouTube on, or I can't get through a meal unless I'm watching TikTok, or if I'm watching the news. And so there's a lot of these other things that are kind of interrupting that flow, and meals used to be the most beneficial time for the families uniting. It united a family. There was a purposeful time of just conversation where you stop everything else and sit and just kind of be with one another. All psychologists and churches all agree that that is one of the most, if not the most beneficial thing to do for your family's general well-being is having a few nights a week to just eat and talk with one another. But we've kind of dissolved that. We still eat together, but our brains and our minds are in other kind of worlds now. We're not kind of centered on where it used to be, and so it's become less sacred. We're eating, we're still talking kind of, but it's like we haven't gained all that beneficial aspect of having a set apart. We're here, we're just talking together, we're meeting. And there's a lot of other examples in our culture that does that. And I think one of the hard parts about this is that, you know, as we're moving in our culture and we're gaining a lot of technology, it's a good thing to a degree. Technology can be helpful, but it also kind of lies to us. It has this lie that it gives us more time, but in secretly it actually steals a lot of our time. While yes, having a car is more helpful than having a horse or running. Yes, having a phone is easier than having to send a letter out to somebody else. Yeah, there are some things that it saves some time. But just real quick, I'm going to take a poll here. How many of you own a car, a phone, and a TV? Just by show of hands. How many own all those? Okay. Of all those with your hands, you don't have to keep them raised up, but all those you raised your hand, is your biggest problem that you have too much time? Do you find yourself just sitting around going, oh, I'm just so bored. I have nothing to do. I've just sent all my messages, done all my stuff, gotten to everywhere I needed to so quickly, and I just have hours and hours of just time left over? Nobody? It's because it's all back into that stuff. There's a term in for a lot of like millennials and Gen Z and Gen Alpha. They call it doom scrolling, and it's when you just scroll on your phone or social media for hours, and the time just goes by, and you're like, oh, it's 6 o'clock at night. I missed dinner. Like, I'm just scrolling, and then they feel awful. is they just wasted so much time on nothing of value. And it's just kind of blurred together. So this is happening more and more. And it's, you know, I get with technology moving, it can be a good thing, but it has detriments when it takes away the things in our life that are sacred. Similarly, this is the same with our money. Kind of view it as it for a moment as, you know, if you were just given a large sum of money without any kind of way to kind of organize and work through it, it's probably going to be really detrimental. If you kind of just spend your money as you get it without having some kind of system of separating it into daily kind of budgets, then there's oftentimes people end up, and this is what happens with people when they get a lot of money really early, is they don't actually take the time to structure it in any way, and then it ends up hurting them in the end. That's why budgeting can be very helpful for people into taking account what they've been given so that they can use it wisely. Dave Ramsey was quoted saying, "No one accidentally wins financially. Even if someone was given a huge sum of money like the lottery, I think someone won like $1.8 billion the other day in California. It was crazy. And it's like you get that and we all dream of like, oh, that would be so amazing. But most of the time when people are given that amount of money, it absolutely trashes their life. Because it's so dangerous to be given a lump sum of something without any kind of way to structure through it. And the reason I'm kind of tying these two together is because in the scriptures, it is abundantly clear that Jesus viewed our time that way. That if we were given a lump sum of time, that if we did not take time to structure it and to use it properly and organize through what we're trying to do with it, then it would be the exact same way if we were given a lump sum of money and just decided to live life with it, we'd end up in a place that would harm us and detriment us. He viewed time very similarly to this, because we have been given a gift, every single one of us. Even though we, you know, have different lifespans, each and every one of us, we've all been given decades of life. It's a gift all at once in us. And so when he talks about this, and it's funny because Jesus viewed it this way, but also his disciples taught on it, and it is something that is interwoven through all of scripture, especially the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. It's all over the place that discipline is a process of having a correct relationship to time. Disciplining your life so that way you can make the most out of every situation given to you. He was absolutely aware of this at every stage of his life, and in all of his teachings, it's interwoven through this. So I'll go back to the budgeting example for just a moment, because I think we hear about this one more often. What does budgeting do for you with your money? It takes your daily money, your daily situation, and it brings us out into a larger view. It takes what you have in the day and says, let's tie it into the week. Let's tie it into the month. And let's tie that into the year. So that what you have in the day is actually a part of something bigger. So if you have a goal for the year and you say, I want to save for a house, or I want to save for my kids' college, or whatever it is, you then can act in the day to make that happen. You've shifted what happened by bringing in order, by bringing in a structure into your day. You've now tied that in and interwoven that into the year and makes every day matter to that goal. And you build something. That's what budgeting does. And it's a great thing. And so this is something that we want to take a look at for our time. Because when we look at our time each and every day, it's connected to the rest of our time. But only during these seasons or holidays do we start to pick up on it. We start to get a glimpse of when time becomes kind of sacred again. When we start to notice that, hey, we can make goals during the day. We can focus our time and have a long-term goal, and we've attached the today into the large again. Unfortunately, it kind of, you know, it moves too quickly. But for us, let's stay here for a moment, because this could be really helpful for us. One of the tangible benefits of this day-to-day attaching to the large term, there's a tangible benefit, and it's less anxiety. And that comes straight from what Jesus teaches on this. Because your day is no longer alone. Your day and tomorrow are single days within a part of a large group. I want to read to you his teaching on this. He reminds us, he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Meaning, what you worry for is coming, regardless of that worry. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, what's interesting about this is he's saying, you know, focus on the day itself. For God knows what you need, and he's saying that he can look through and see through your life and saying, "Don't worry, I know what's going on tomorrow. Focus on today. When we get to tomorrow, you'll focus on tomorrow." You know what's happening? We're peering into God's mind here for a moment. Kind of like how when we budget, we have our day-to-day and we bring it out into the large. God is peering in and saying, "Look, let's focus on the day, because out here, I see what's going to happen. And it would be beneficial for you in the day to make your goal happen to focus one day at a time, because each one of those days will add to the whole." It's interesting when you do that, because when you hear God talk this way and you hear Jesus talk this way, you're hearing that he sees far more than we see. It's interesting. So when you come in prayer and you talk to God, not only are you talking to someone who sees and is mindful of what's going on in the day-to-day, but he sees what's going on in the large picture. And for him, it's someone that doesn't even just see a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, but God sees generation to generation, life to life, and he's peering in and saying, "This is how I think you should do things. Trust me on this." Someone I think you should trust, because I think if you have a view that large, they see a lot more than we see. You know, there's an interesting story I want to tell everybody. So there's the wisest man in all of the scriptures outside of Jesus himself was a king in Israel hundreds, thousands of years ago. And he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. And it's a very interesting read. I highly recommend it, because in reality, this whole book is what happens when the wisest person in the world has too much time for themselves and just thinks and thinks and thinks themselves into like anxiety. So it will make you think. I highly recommend it. It comes right after the book of Proverbs, and it is really, really interesting to just hear how he thinks through things. He begins to have this crisis as he realizes that all of life, this big picture, has become meaningless to him. He realizes that with all of his wisdom, that he will still die someday. And that the fool down the street is wasting every moment of his life, that the two of them will end up in the same place at the end. And so he gets really upset over it. And then he thinks about all the money that he's been able to get and saved up. He realizes that's all going to be eventually given away. And that even if he'll give it to his kids or their kids to their grandkids, that eventually someone's going to waste it. And he has absolutely no way to guarantee that it will continue on. And so he gets upset about it. where that all the drinks and the food and the happiness that he could spend during his life, that he could focus on during his life, that they come just as fast as they go, and that he realizes there's not really any point in continuing on this. So he gets really upset on this and deliberates on it for a while, and in it he acknowledges that everything that has happened will happen again, and that there's nothing new. The classic line is, there's nothing new under the sun, that he says. No feelings or wisdom, it all comes and it all goes. Here's an interesting little blip from it. He says this, says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up. Time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, and a time to dance. You can just see he's been thinking about this for a long time. Like, he is just like going through everything. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, and a time for war, and a time for peace. He recognizes in this whole lump sum of time, time just continues to pass. Moments come, moments go, and they will come again. Nothing's on its own and nothing is new. Pretty sad? It was pretty sad when I read it. That's a lot of things to worry about. It helps us see here, you know, in the day-to-day, if we let our minds get clogged up with worry, that there's just endless things to worry about. There's endless things that we can worry and stress over if we're so focused on getting, you know, on all these individual things, and we will continue to worry about them, and then one day we'll actually end up worrying about doing the opposite of it. And so we'll be scattering stones and saying, we got to get all these together, and then one day we'll be, you know, spreading them around. One day we'll be scattering about how we can, you know, plant more trees, and then the next time we'll be chopping them all down right after we planted them up, and that there's so much to worry about. But interesting thing is that after he starts to deliberate on all these things, the wise king ended up figuring out that alone these things mean nothing. But as a part of the whole of what God is doing, the large, again, out of the day and into the large, they matter. It only matters when they attach to the large. And he realizes that God has a plan and he sees all things. Again, that kind of expanded view. And when we do, fits within that. And so he says, trust him. Trust in God is critical to making what you do in the day matter to the large. The goal that we have, it matters in the day-to-day when we have our trust in God. And the way we can do that, the tangible example, is by making our goals his goals. That is the most promising way to make your goals last and make your day-to-day work matter. So kind of look real quick back at, if you mind throwing up the verse from Jesus before the whole section. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or your drink, all these things that he was talking about, all these like, you know, time for this, a time for that. He's saying, don't worry about those things. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable? In any of you, add to your days by worrying. Add a single hour to your life. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Solomon being that very wise king, by the way, a little segue back into who he was. So if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or who knows, you know, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Did you hear his goal in there? Did you catch his goal? You know, when I did therapy, when I would do treatment plans for my clients, one of the things that we would do frequently is we would establish a large long-term goal, and then we would have 2 to 3 small-term goals that we do in the day to add to that large term. Basically budgeting out their life in a way of saying, if this is what you want to do, let's do these 2 things to get us to here. What's Jesus's long-term goal here? What's his large goal that he thinks that we should do in order to have all of these things added to us? His large-term goal is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's his large-term goal. And in this is why we're bringing it up at this season of year. We think it would be the best for you guys during this season, for us as well as a church, to have our large-term goal, our long-term one for the new year, to be to seek first his kingdom. But then all the other things that we worry about, all the other goals that we could have, all the other stresses we can have, will all be added to us if we first seek his kingdom. We think this is a good goal. You know, the scripture in Ecclesiastes, that book of wisdom, the wise king said, God has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. This is where the trust comes in. When we have God's goal to seek first the kingdom, and then we take Jesus's advice to focus on the day itself, to say, focus on today, let tomorrow work on tomorrow, focus on today, we are adding to the large goal. We're trusting in him, saying, if my goal is your goal, then today I'm gonna focus on building the kingdom, and then tomorrow I will focus on building the kingdom, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. This shows that God knows what will happen in our lives before and after them. So yet, in every single one of us longing, what we want to build, trusting in him builds something greater. So we want to offer you an invitation to build the kingdom of God with us. Jesus has offered this invitation to every person who has ears to hear. Join in. Align your long-term goal this New Year's with his goal, to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. I'd love to invite Pat back up. And so what we think would be a good idea in this is to create 2 or 3 maybe short-term goals for the days. And the reason we do that is to help us focus. Okay, what are we focusing on in the day to attach us to the large term? So we think that's one of the best things that you could do from kind of, you know, looking at that to make it the most likely to happen. And so one of the things we think would be helpful is think, what are some things about the kingdom we want to seek? We just had a few services talking about preparing for the way of Jesus. Our last one having our goals being generosity and gratitude. Maybe those are the 2 goals. Imagine waking up each day and saying, I'm going to seek first his kingdom. How these are 2 qualities of the kingdom, and I hope that by the end of today that I am grateful for something and that I give something. And then tomorrow I'll do the same thing. What are 2 things that we think we can try? And then today I'm going to do those 2 things. I had a conversation with someone else here on the staff talking a little bit about what if we chose to have our vernacular and how we spoke. What if that was our goal? It's to say, let's speak like we're building the kingdom. What would that look like today? Where all my words are used to only build the kingdom. That's my goal for the day. And in this, each and every day, we're building the kingdom, peering out into the large term, making every day matter while they connect to the large. So we want to offer you this. We're going to be trying it as well. We'd love to do it with you. And so I want to just thank you so much for the honor of being able to speak with you this morning. So we're going to take some time to worship again. I'd just love to pray for you as we go into that. So pray with me, please. Dear Lord, we thank you for your heart for us. We thank you that you are mindful of us in the day-to-day. And Lord, we pray that as we move into this new year, that we align our goals with yours, that we attach our long-term goal of seeking the kingdom with yours, and that each of our day-to-day things that we do help build towards that goal. And Lord, we know that you see further than what we can do, that you see further past our life's end. And so, Lord, in this, we trust in you that what we do will build the kingdom until its completion, until the end, when we can all live with you in that kingdom, those of us who build with you and who follow you. So, Lord, we pray that as we move into this next year, that you shape our hearts to be more like yours, that you shape our goals to be more like yours, and then help us in the day-to-day, that we may build the kingdom one day at a time. In your name we pray, amen.